And I think a good analogy that I like to say is, like, if you think of yourself coming out of a shower and you're dry, but not fully dry, and you put on a t-shirt, but instead of it being your normal soft cotton t-shirt, it's a Glad trash bag. So like you have that humidity, that stickiness, and that's exactly the same material that you are putting on your baby's bum, right? It is that same plastic material. Yes, the one on the diaper is engineered to be softer, but at the end of the day, it's that same sticky, non-breathable, humid material that causes friction and abrasion on your baby's skin.
Welcome to the New Mamas Podcast. This podcast was created to help first-time moms everywhere navigate this new stage of life and to talk about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. I'm your host, Lena Forrestal. I'm a working mom by day and a blogger and photographer by mid-afternoon. And as a first-time mom myself, I'm on this journey with you. So, new mamas, let's do it. Let's kick off the episode and get to the good stuff. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the New Mamas Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the environmental impact of diapers and the truth about what's touching baby's skin when it comes to diapers. Today, we're going to be doing a bit of a different format as we're doing a roundtable discussion with the founding team of Kudos, a brand new diaper company that's launching soon. And what's different about Kudos is that they're the only disposable diaper to have earned the Cotton Natural Seal for being lined with 100% cotton instead of plastic. They have four times the amount of plant-based materials than the leading diaper brand. And I also want to share this fun fact. If all diapers were made the Kudos way, 500 million pounds of plastic would be replaced with clean, unbleached, natural cotton. 2 billion pounds of fossil fuel-derived diaper materials would now be sourced from renewable materials each year. Mamas, that means two things right off the bat. They're less irritating on our baby's skin, and they're better for the earth. But we'll learn more about the technology that's infused in these diapers later on in the episode. We're going to be talking to the founding team today about the environmental impact of diapers, the truth about what's touching our baby's skin when it comes to diapers, what Kudos is doing and why it matters, and the unique challenges of launching a business while juggling being a new mom in a pandemic. Maura, Emily, and Amrita, I'm so excited to have you here today. Why don't we do a round of introductions?
Thanks, Lena. Thank you so much for having us on today. We're really excited to be here. I guess I'll kick off the intros. I'm Maura. I'm head of marketing for Kudos. I'm also a new mama to a nine-month-old, my baby daughter, Avery, who's 9 months old. I joined Kudos about a year and a half ago after 3 years living in New York City and working on the Uber Eats global marketing leadership team. I got connected to Amrita through a mutual friend of ours, someone who I worked with at Uber Eats, who went to business school with Amrita. And I just was blown away by Amrita's background, by Emily's background, by the vision for the company. And I felt that this was something that I wanted for my daughter. I felt that Amrita and Emily had these unique backgrounds to actually make a difference in this space. So as you mentioned earlier, Kudos is the first and only disposable diaper lined with 100% cotton, which means that instead of sitting in plastic, you know, fossil fuel derived, irritating plastic all day, baby skin is touching 100% cotton all day with Kudos diapers. And as someone who cares a lot about what's touching my skin, let alone what's touching my baby's skin, this was something that I knew I just wanted to be a part of. It's been a really exciting journey. Awesome. Maybe Emily, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So hi, I'm Emily. I'm the lead engineer at Kudos. I am mom to three babies. I had two under two and then three under three. And so now I have a 3.5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and an almost 1-year-old. And I live up in New Hampshire. I'm super into sustainable living. Both my older kids did elimination communication, where we did that with them to try to save diapers. And Amrita and I are friends from when we went to college at MIT to study mechanical engineering. And when she approached me about this concept of working on a more sustainable diaper, I said, absolutely, yes, I'm 100% in. And it's been a very fun experience to have a company that so closely ties with my family priorities. So all of my babies have been Kudos test babies. And I think we'll talk a little bit about that later.
That's awesome. Amrita, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I'm the founder and CEO of Kudos. We started Kudos 2 years ago now, so in early 2019. My background is in mechanical engineering and manufacturing. Like Emily said, we were very good friends in college and we did all of our homework together. After graduating college in 2010, I joined Procter & Gamble and I worked on a few brands there, Always Pads and Gillette Razors, designing equipment to manufacture these products. From there, I left Procter & Gamble and moved to India to start my first company there called Sathi Pads, making biodegradable sanitary pads out of waste banana tree fiber. So there's kind of a theme in my life on sustainable consumer products, and have done a few other things. Spent a few years at Google X heading up optics manufacturing, which was a fun and crazy ride. And then also spent 3 years working at a startup called Thunkable in the Bay Area. And then probably in my early 30s, as I don't have kids right now, but as all of my friends started having kids, I kept getting asked the question, can you do what you were doing with pads in India with diapers in the US? And that was kind of an aha moment. And that's what kind of prompted me to start Kudos and then recruit Emily and Maura to join.
Wow. I love this story so much already, and I can't wait to dive in. You all have such amazing and impressive backgrounds, and it's cool that all this brain power is all together now into Kudos. It's so nice to meet you all. I want to start with Maura. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your motherhood journey?
Yeah, definitely. My path to motherhood is probably one that a lot of families can relate to, in that it was actually a lot longer and a lot harder than I initially expected. Ultimately, it was 3 years, one miscarriage, sadly, and two IUIs and a whole lot of fertility testing before we found out we were pregnant with our daughter, Avery, who's now, like I said earlier, 9 months old. And we're so grateful to be where we are today. But, you know, that journey was harder than we expected. And I think there's a lot more awareness now and people are a lot more familiar with the stats around, okay, how long it takes to become pregnant and how common miscarriages are during those first few months, that first trimester. But I think one thing that stands out to me is that, you know, knowing the stats doesn't make the experience any easier. And, you know, thinking back to like the time of my miscarriage, super early on in the pregnancy, and despite knowing those stats, I had still let myself get my hopes up. At that point, it was 2.5 years of us trying to have a baby. And this was the first positive pregnancy test that I had. And I just thought like, okay, well, I put 2.5 years in, you know, we've been waiting for 2.5 years, and I got really excited. And then when I had the miscarriage, you know, I had it in the airport of all places, away from home. I think it surprised me. Aww. As someone, again, who like knew logically that this was a real possibility, I think it surprised me how emotional and how difficult it was. I think that's just something that, you know, more moms than should have to can relate to, and something that I experienced. You know, hindsight, however, is 2020, and looking back on it now, I really truly believe everything happened the way it was supposed to and at the timing it was supposed to. And, you know, very funny, like timing that I actually found out that I was pregnant the first day that I started work at Kudos. So my first day of work was the same day that I found out I was pregnant. Also very randomly, the fertility clinic that I had been going to for, you know, years before I started at Kudos was right across the street from the Kudos office. So I took that all as like a sign that this was, you know, meant to be. This is like exactly the pivot and career change that I was supposed to take. And I say that, and I think it's important to say that, because a lot of moms or a lot of women in their like mid-30s, like I was, it can be very tempting to like not make any career moves, because especially when you're trying to have a baby or you're thinking about family planning. And I know that my husband and I, when we were considering, you know, this career move for me to Kudos, we had all these conversations about, hey, maybe I should just stay at my old job. Felt like I had earned that maternity leave and just kind of like wait until I was pregnant. And ultimately, I'm really, really glad that I didn't do that and that I made the decision to kind of make that career decision for me, because that was the best decision for me. And ultimately, I think my body knew it. And the fact that I got pregnant and found out that I was pregnant the day I started, I think says a lot.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. And I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't thank you enough for sharing your experience, because like you mentioned, it is something that so many women go through. And I think it is important that you do mention, even though we know the stats, it doesn't make it hurt any less. Women and moms still need all the support they can get when going through something like that. So you found, your daughter is 9 months old?
Yep.
So my son and your daughter are around the same age, which means that you gave birth during the pandemic.
Yes.
What was it like having your baby during the pandemic and juggling motherhood while building a business?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I can both relate to the challenges of being pregnant and giving labor during a pandemic. I know Emily can also relate to this. Giving labor with a mask on is no fun. And I was throwing up while also giving birth. So there's a lot of just like unique challenges with that. But I'd say in general, becoming pregnant and becoming a mom during a pandemic was definitely a different experience and one that has like a lot of challenges, but also a few silver linings that I try not to take for granted. I think like one thing that I've talked with Emily at length about, for example, is just how much time I've been able to spend with my daughter and all that time that I don't think I would have gotten to spend with her outside of a pandemic. Not saying that the challenges are still there, but the fact that I've been able to be with my daughter, feed my daughter, watch those milestones as they've developed and take breaks with her, I will never take that for granted. And I think that that is a silver lining that I'm going to hold on to. The fact that I haven't been away from my daughter for more than 4 hours since she was born is kind of incredible. And it's a double-edged sword. Like, I have not been away from my daughter for more than 4 hours since she was born. That is very challenging. I live in a one-bedroom apartment. I work in a one-bedroom apartment with a newborn and a nanny. And so finding that time for myself from a personal standpoint to have alone time, which was something that was very important to me before becoming a mom and is in very, very scarce these days, that has been a challenge. And then also finding just the time to sit down and buckle down and do work and be productive in the same way that I was kind of pre-baby and pre-pandemic has been a challenge. Ultimately, I think becoming a new mom, there's a lot that you have to recognize is outside of your control. And there's a lot of ceding of control that happens. When you add a pandemic on top of that, and then you add starting a new business and launching a new product on top of that, it's just a whole lot of things that you can't control. There's a whole lot of things that you're doing for the first time that you want to know the answers to, but don't necessarily know the answers to. So it's really been a crash course for me in rolling with the punches and learning how to trust my own instincts across all three of those kind of categories. It's been a transition. It's been a challenge. It definitely helps to have a supportive working environment, and like the environment that Amrita has created for us at Kudos has really helped. And it definitely helps to have two diaper engineers on the team that you can like contact and go to for like any and all questions related to leaks and blowouts. And I've learned a lot and happy to talk about that later. But so that all of that has made the transition easier.
That's really great to hear. And so you bring up a good point about your team and working together. And Emily, I want to hear about your motherhood journey in a second, but I'm curious first, how did you all work together throughout the pandemic? You mentioned that you were in an office, and then did you all move fully virtual? And then what has that looked like?
We like the rest of the world, moved virtual pretty quickly. It was like one day we were all in the office together, and the next day we were all remote working from our homes. In my case, the one bedroom apartment. We had to kind of adjust to that pretty quickly. Luckily, there's only three of us, so it makes it a little bit easier to deal with things. And we're all about all the technologies. We're on Slack, we're on Zoom, we're on Asana. So all of that has made it like pretty easy to manage kind of like the tasks that we need to get done. I'd say also we're friends like outside of this too. So just kind of calling each other and like being a part of those professional as well as personal milestones has been key and been important.
That's amazing. I'm always curious to see how teams have found creative solutions to work through the pandemic and how that's changed. I love technology too. I'm a big fan of the Slack life. I use WebEx because I work for WebEx, but WebEx also has that chat functionality and like reducing email. And I just love technology is here to help us work better and work smarter. I love it. So Emily, I would love to hear about your motherhood journey. And I'm selfishly curious to learn more about how motherhood changes from one to three, because three is my magic number, which sounds silly to say, but I guess I just always envisioned us having three kids, but who knows if we'll even make it there.
Yeah. So I have always had a vision of myself as a working woman and never really thought of myself as a mom. I think that was mostly due to my mom, who I think is a feminist. I think she wouldn't necessarily call herself that because she's from Iowa and very conservative, but she worked. She had a master's degree in the 70s. She had a career basically, and then had kids later. And she was 38 when she had me. So it's just me and my brother growing up, didn't have a big family, but she's one of five. The family get-togethers with her were just like her family were just fantastic. It was tons of cousins, loved that environment. And my husband's also one of just him and his sister, you know? So we came from the similar mold, and we decided to have kids 5 years after we got married. It just seemed like this is the right time to start trying. If not now, when? I think my husband calls our first son baby bait because he was like that very cute, very well, not, I won't say behaved, but like he was just so attuned to social cues. Like he would smile when you smiled. He slept through the night. And I'll say this without knocking on wood, because I had two other kids that didn't sleep through the night this early, but he slept through the night at 3 months. So basically, by 6 months, my husband and I were like, let's do this again. Like that was so fun having a baby, a newborn. Like we want to have kids that are close in age. Let's try it again. And very first attempt, we got pregnant. So we have two that are 15 months apart. And then my daughter was a little bit tougher with sleep. We got a little more sleep deprived, but then we decided let's try again. And so my son, who is 10 months old, he was born a few months before Mora's. So probably not that long after your son or around the same time. He's been a joy, just like classic third kid who is just happy to be here. And so like I think the biggest things, I was talking with my husband about this. We actually went to get our COVID vaccine today. And this was our topic of discussion as we were like driving and waiting in line, is like, what was really the big difference when we went from no kids to kids, and then from 1 to 2 and then 2 to 3. And I think the big things that we thought are from 0 to 1, it's like this shift, you know, this fundamental shift of I'm no longer the most important person in my life. And the schedule matters, you know, and I'm going to make it a priority to get this kid sleep. And I'm going to make it a priority to eat family dinners together.
And I totally agree.
For me, it was also a shift of I'm going to make it a priority to cook. Because I never did that before. And Ritha can tell you how terribly I ate in college. It was like all yellow food. That was all I wanted to eat. And just thinking of, you know, with my son, I was like, I want him to learn healthy habits. And I'm an engineer, I'm a researcher. And everything that I read was basically they learn healthy habits by watching their parents. So I was like, okay, great. That means I have to learn how to eat, and I have to learn how to cook my own meals and be healthy. So that was like a big shift for me, was I'm not the most important, and I have to be able to be willing to change my behavior to get the kind of family experience that I want with my kids. And then from 2 to 3, or from 1 to 2, because ours were so close, it was a lot of the same. And with 2, I could still kind of keep a hand on both of them if I needed to, but you start to kind of feel that control slipping away. It became a lot harder to go anywhere with your kid. Like with my husband was laughing. He was like, with 1, it was just an accessory. You could take him with you anywhere you wanted to go, except at nap time. Don't I never have nap time, but with two, it becomes, now it's a haul, you know, now I have to remember to bring everything and carry two car seats around. And then from two to three, that was, I think, my hardest transition, just me personally, because it became, no longer could I control anything. Like, I had to make sure I had systems set up for my older two kids while I, you know, was breastfeeding my littlest, or make sure they can stay, my two older kids can stay occupied while I go lay the baby down for a nap. So just stuff that you just can't be there for them to tell them no, or tell them that was unkind. You have to kind of help them understand that, have a framework for decision-making with everything, you know, how they treat others, how they treat themselves, how they eat, how they take risks or not. You think about it, for like a three-year-old, that's big stuff, but their brains are growing at an incredible rate. So they can handle that kind of thinking. And that's what we've been trying to do, is just establish a framework for decision-making for them. And also just letting go of, you know, it's not going to be perfect, but we're here and we're present for them. And we're trying to be consistent every day. And that's the best that they could ever wish for.
Wow, that is fantastic. And you just blew my mind. I love the way, like, I could totally visualize when you were walking us through one to two, two to three, through, no, not three not to yet. Four. Yeah, that's great. I love the term baby bait, because I think my son is baby bait. He's just a delicious little joy. That's how they get you. How funny. So you have a lot of experience with diapers.
Oh yes.
I'm curious to learn, you went to MIT with Amrita. How did you start working together in designing a better diaper?
I think this goes back to college to some extent. So Amrita is one of those people who can bring a vision to life and has done this habitually. So we did all of our we call them P sets, problem sets, together, starting from our freshman year in college. And it would just happen over and over again that she'd have some idea and it would work. I think her biggest idea of college, after her junior year of college, where she interned at P&G, worked on Always pads, and then had a connection, and she'll talk more about the origin story of Safi, basically helped make this thing a reality to make sanitary pads for women in India out of banana tree fibers. So out of something sustainable that was a waste product, make something that is going to benefit the lives of women who would otherwise not be able to attend school, work, etc., because they'd be home with their period. Seeing her do that, and we helped her, my husband and I, just throughout the years encouraged. And then whenever she wanted to pitch an idea to us, we would be there for her, like biggest encouragers. And then she went to India and just made it happen. And it's still a thing now. So when she approached me, I was in the hospital and is getting texted by Amrita about Kudos. So this was October 2018, just had my daughter. She said, I'm trying to do something similar. I'm texting you from a diaper engineering conference, and I'm trying to do something similar to Sathi with diapers. And it was just one of those moments of like, I texted her back, that sounds amazing. And if you need an engineer, let me know. And of course, that was how it ended up working out. I think you said it, like, I have been up to my eyeballs in diapers I at one point had three children in diapers, which was just bonkers. And where I live in New Hampshire, we have to take our waste to they call it a transfer station, to be disposed of. And so I was feeling it every week that I would have to physically lug the diaper genie sausage of plastic and plastic with poop on it out of my house to the transfer station. It was just one of those things where I was like, there has to be a better way to do this. And when Amrita said, like, let's do what we did with this sustainable sanitary pad, but with diapers in America, I was like, I am in. Like, yes, sign me up. How can I help you? As far as what it has been like to work with Amrita, like, first off, it's so super fun to work with your friend. And then it's also really fun to tie it back to my family. So my kids, basically since October 2018, have been our Kudos diaper testers. So that's like finding, yeah, awesome. Trying different diapers, seeing what works, what doesn't work, learning all about diaper fit by testing it on my kids, seeing firsthand and being very observational about what does food do? How does that affect change in food? How does that affect what goes out and into the diaper? It's been really fun to have little babies and be working on building a sustainable diaper. It's just like everything, work-life integration is happening together.
I love that. And as a mom, how can you not be so hyper-focused on what goes on your child's skin? At least for me, every single different diaper that I buy, like, I just found Honest diapers, for example, on sale at Marshall's. So I grabbed a pack, and I'm literally micro comparing them to other brands that I've used. So I feel like that is something that moms do pay attention to, is the fit, the material. I have certain diaper brands now that when I pick up, I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. I hate to say that, but like there's some that I'm like, I can't, this is awful. I'm curious to learn more about the diaper industry. Was there a sense of urgency in getting this out as fast as you can? Because I feel like there are a lot of diaper companies, right? Were you nervous that another brand or company would be doing what you're doing or put something out before you did that was similar to your product? Or do you feel like Kudos is truly unique?
So I think it's a, yes, there are a number of new diaper startups out there, 100%. And I'm sure you've tried a handful of the brands. What no diaper has done to date, I think to date, there's still in my mind, a compromise for the most environmentally friendly diaper and performance. That you feel like parents feel like they have to make a trade-off. If I am doing something more green and sustainable, I'm also taking on that risk or understanding that this might not perform as well and I might get more leaks or blowouts or whatever. So I think that, and so what we really wanted to come in and say was like, hey, we want to bridge that gap where parents no longer feel like they have to make a compromise for what is best for their baby's skin and what is best for the environment and what is best for performance-wise. I think it's like, how do we balance those three things? Performance, the environment, and your baby's skin. And we did not feel like there is another solution out there that is doing what we are doing. They're like, we have the highest percentage of plant-based ingredients. We have 100% cotton touching your baby's skin. And Emily has been testing hundreds and hundreds of diapers over the last 2 years, probably in the thousands by now, and really focusing on a diaper that really has this breathability and is able to prevent diaper rash is what we've found has really worked. And maybe Lemmy can talk a little bit more about testing the diapers on Ginny and JJ, her two older kids, and how they used to always get red bumps with other diapers. Maybe Emily, why don't I let you tell about your kids rather than me?
Yeah, so we have just very sensitive skin in my family. And my son had just an epic diaper rash as a result of one switch to a brand. So I feel you when you say you pick up some diapers, you think you're doing great for your budget, and it like ruins your child's butt. For weeks. That has happened many times in our family. And it leads parents to think like, what is in these diapers? What am I putting on my kid's skin? Not just diapers, but also if you put on lotions, if you're doing, you know, baths, if you're doing, well, everyone's doing baths, but if you're paying attention to your, like what kind of shampoos and bubble baths you're using and clothing, et cetera, like it just, you start to realize, and the science backs this up, baby skin is more sensitive than adult skin. There's actually a pH difference, and that affects how well your baby can fight off problems on its skin. So like infections or irritation. So mamas, you are not crazy. You think your kid has really sensitive skin. Like they do. It is more sensitive than yours, most likely. And so when you're looking at what you're putting on babies' very sensitive areas of their butt, where they're getting exposed to moisture all the time, at least for me, caused me to be informed about what causes diaper rash. And what can I do as a parent to prevent it? And that specifically led me to what can we do at Kudos to prevent it from a design perspective. So if I can jump into that, like the three main things that cause diaper rash, it's moisture, which just happens naturally, like A, through what your baby's putting out, but B, through sweat, and then friction. So if your baby's, especially moving babies, which most babies are, even if they're not rolling yet, that diaper will rub and it will irritate the already moist area of your baby's skin. And that can cause a rash to break out. And then frequently another cause of diaper rash is some kind of irritant or allergen. So that can be fragrance. Like if you've smelled, there are certain brands that want to have this signature smell. And some babies just cannot handle that. Those three things, moisture, friction, and scent or allergens, that led us to design Kudos to be a product that addresses each of those things. And we just based on my experience, and we've had over 100 families test our products, we just feel really confident that this is doing something different to prevent diaper rash. Not, you know, hopefully we can also help in the treatment of it, you know, if you already have it, but then hopefully with Kudos, you can prevent that kind of irritation from becoming something awful.
Right. Especially in the summertime or in regions where it is hotter. I feel like this is genius. And you bring up a good point too, about some brands want to have the signature smell. It always irked me when I'm in the diaper aisle or I'm in the wipes aisle and you see that little label for sensitive skin. Isn't all baby skin sensitive skin? Why would I ever not buy the one that says for sensitive? Like, you know, it's just, it's bizarre to me that we have to even have those labels.
Agreed. And they do that to new moms all the time. It's like, well, yes, my baby has sensitive skin, so do I have to buy this brand, or can I buy the budget friendly brand? You know, like, yeah, it's just, it's tough to know what, when you're, especially when you're sleep deprived, it's tough to know what works best.
Yes, absolutely. So Amrita, I am curious to learn more. I feel like this is the perfect segue to learn more about Kudos. What was the motivation behind starting Kudos? Why did you move away from female sanitary pads to diapers?
I think it was just Sathi has been a phenomenal experience and building that company. Personally, I wanted to live in the US. So that was, and Sathi is an Indian brand, and my co-founders are very much still growing that in India, which has been absolutely amazing. So I had decided to step away for personal reasons to be here in the US. I think the biggest thing was diapers were not completely on my radar. As someone who does not have kids, but it was all of my friends who were having kids in their early 30s, and multiple people kept asking me, oh my God, like the same thing, like, hey, there's no really good natural diaper brand. And like the ones that are there are not truly as natural as they claim, and they don't perform as well. So could you take all your knowledge in this space and create a really awesome, disposable, sustainable baby diaper? And that's what kind of led me to starting Sathi. So I have to give the credit to all of my friends with kids for being the inspiration for starting this company.
Yeah, and you identified a hole in the marketplace, right? Because as someone who's, you know, I don't eat, live, and breathe diapers the way
we do.
You do, but I absolutely concur. Like, I am pretty much always unsatisfied with what diapers I'm choosing. I feel like I'm always choosing just the lesser of the evils.
Yes.
When I'm looking at diapers. Like, I'm like, all right, well, this is good for now. I'm not particularly loyal to any brand. I'm just trying to pick the one that's feels the softest, right? And I think even in our when we were speaking before this interview, we were talking about some of this engineered softness versus the real softness of cotton. Did you want to speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So if you look at like a traditional diaper, and if you kind of think of it like a sandwich, where there's a top layer, which is what is touching your baby's butt, and then there's a core that you're not able to touch and feel, and then there's that outer layer. There's way more components into diaper. It's a very, surprisingly, it's a very, very, very engineering complex product to make. But if you think of it simply like that, what most natural mm-hmm. brands to date have been able to do is they've taken that core of the diaper and made that with sustainably harvested wood pulp, which is a great step in the right direction and has kind of become industry standard and what we are doing as well. But unfortunately, those top and bottom layers, the part that's touching your baby's skin, those are still plastic. They're polypropylene. I know they feel engineered to be very soft. They feel like wow. cotton, but they are not. And I think a good analogy that I like to say is like, if you think of yourself coming out of a shower and you're dry, but not fully dry, and you put on a t-shirt, but instead of it being your normal soft cotton t-shirt, it's a Glad trash bag. So like you have that humidity, that stickiness, And that's exactly the same material that you are putting on your baby's bum, right? It is that same plastic material. Yes, the one on the diaper is engineered to be softer, but at the end of the day, it's that same sticky, non-breathable, humid material that causes friction and abrasion on your baby's skin. So when you think about it like that, that's really what we are trying to solve for, and replace it with cotton to give it that breathability and have all this void space for air to flow through that keeps your baby's bum feeling dry. And we have no added chemicals or fragrances. So all of that gives you the best possible material for your baby's skin. Same way doctors always recommend cotton as the number one material for rash and eczema. We wanted to bring it to life in a diaper.
Oh gosh, that visual of putting on a Glad trash bag after a shower is my nightmare. Like that should be a form of torture. Like that sounds terrible.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So
yeah, well, when you put it that way, yeah, of course, like it feels like, oh, if my child is fussy, who knows? It could also be because they're just uncomfortable in their diaper. And I know, like, my son loves to be naked. Like, he, like, hates wearing diapers. And I guess I can understand why now. It's so uncomfortable. I feel like a fun test would be to have parents put on, like, if only, like, different diaper brands had, like, adult sizes and you could try different ones on to see what it feels like. Can you imagine? Wow, this is definitely blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, no, and we can teach. We love talking, especially me and Emily love nerding out on the science of diapers and how they are made. At some point later, we can go into a much more scientific deep dive of diapers.
No, I'm down to scientifically deep dive now. Can you please teach us? And by us, I mean like everyone listening.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so what we're doing to make our diapers, so like, I know this may be on some people's minds. Okay, it's like, why haven't any other diaper brands like put cotton on their diaper? I think that's like a natural question. Yes. that people are, yeah, are probably wondering. So I think there's a few reasons for that. One is that cotton is a very difficult material to work with. So so if you were to just take cotton and put it onto your normal diaper that you're using, it would not work. And the reason for that is that because cotton is made up of very short fibers, and we spin them together into like an open weave pattern, which is what gives all the void space for the air and the breathability. But when you have all that void space, then when a baby pees, it also makes that cotton very absorbent. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. So you have all the breathability, but then you don't want it to just collect all the urine. So what we spent the last 2 years doing is developed what is our patent pending technology of the diaper, which is our double dry technology, which is a system of two layers made out of cornstarch and sugarcane fiber that has thousands of micro funnels that hydrodynamically, it sits right underneath that cotton, this two layer system, and it's able to hydrodynamically quickly wick away the urine from that cotton and disperse it into the core of the diaper. And that's kind of what makes our whole diaper work and perform well, is this combination of the cotton plus our double dry technology.
Wow, that sounds amazing. You know, it's so funny when you mentioned that, I did think about my period. Yeah. I was like, because I was something I got recently was, have you heard of the company Modi Body?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got some. So for Maura and Emily, Modi Body is, it's like an underwear. It's like a period underwear. There you go. And it's fantastic in that the whole, like, I guess culture of it is so new to the US. I believe it's an Australian branded company, but I tried it out and I was like, this is genius. Why are we still doing pads? It almost feels like a thing from the past.
I mean, it kind of feels like the transition when people went from like pads to a lot of people switching to tampons, right? It's like, you just don't want any unnecessary materials that make you feel humid and itchy and sticky touching you, right? And I think that's why a lot of people opt for tampons, just the convenience, right? Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are continuing to make innovations in the feminine hygiene space.
Yeah, which is fantastic. We definitely need to invest in that space more. But speaking about kind of going into the past a little bit, a story that I read, Amrita, was that something about you, she was sharing about your grandmother and her journey with cotton. It just like stuck with me. Did you want to share that?
Yeah, definitely. So my grandmother grew up in the 1930s in South India. And something that she told me, so when I first got my junior year of college, I ended up working for Always Pads that summer with P&G. And I talked to my grandmother all the time. And I was telling her about my internship and what I was working on and the engineering of it. And she told me, she was born in 1938. And so in the 1940s and 1950s, she was like, we didn't have sanitary pads. That wasn't like a thing really. And then two, in India, it's like very unfortunate, but there's a lot of like stigma around like when you have your period, like you don't even sleep in your like normal bedroom. You have to sleep in a separate part of the house. You can't, like, my grandmother couldn't go to the temple during her period. You can't like enter the kitchen, like you need to eat your food separately. There's all these things that are changing, which is great, especially like in the your big tier one cities in India. You don't see this as much, but definitely in rural India, and rural India has 600,000 village. I think it's like 600 million Indians live in rural India. This is all still very much a reality. I think the taboo and stigmas around having your period, and like girls don't go to school during their period, like they don't have proper sanitary pads. So they end up missing a few days of school each month. And like by eighth grade, they drop out altogether. I remember my grandmother was telling me this. I was like, are you kidding me? Like here, like I am sitting in the US. Yes, I find my period to be a pain and annoying, but like, what do? I go to CVS, I get some Tylenol, you complain for a little bit, eat a pint of ice cream, and then you feel better, right? So like versus like there, it's like a real problem of like you are losing out on education. And that was kind of like, was like an aha moment that I was like, we have to be able to do something different here. So I started researching like, what are different materials that can be used? And I came across that India is one of the largest producers of banana trees. And the interesting thing about banana trees is from the time you plant it till the time you get bananas, it's about a year. What's fascinating is you actually have to cut down the banana tree at the end of the harvest. Towards the end of the harvest, a daughter shoot starts growing and you have to cut down the mother shoot. Otherwise the daughter shoot and mother shoot fight for nutrients. So then you have all, so what farmers do right now is they cut down these banana trees and then they just pile up and they just, there's no use for this product. And banana fiber is one of the most absorbent fibers in the world. So I figured if we could create a completely, if we could take this waste material and turn it into an absorbent fiber that could be used as the core of our pads, that would be game changer and make a fully biodegradable and compostable sanitary pads, especially in like rural parts of India where they don't have proper trash disposal. And like what most people do is the few that do buy pads from the store, they either burn them or bury them, neither which is ideal because it's plastic. And if they're not using pads, they're using old rags or saris or cloth. So what can we do? And that was really the big motivation. It was honestly my grandmother telling me all this, things that I'm just unaware of. But I think then I like moved to rural India, lived there and really got it started. And now it's not, now it's definitely now for both. We want these pads to be everywhere, not just rural India. It's big cities as much as rural places.
I love that. And I love that you're applying the technology to diapers. I feel like there is such a hole. I keep saying this like a hole in the marketplace, but there really is for this sort of material. And I remember when I first found Kudos, or I think, I forget, either one of us followed each other on Instagram. I forget who, but it was just after I released my episode on sustainability and cloth diapers. And as much as I would love, sustainability is really important to me. We live on a farm. We're really trying to be more sustainable. I can't get down with the cloth diapers. And I'm almost embarrassed to admit that. But if there was a better option, I would 100% choose that. So I love that Kudos is almost If I'm imagining right, the journey or the different diaper brands, like sustainability, like is total sustainability is probably cloth diapering.
Yeah, totally.
But then I just imagine Kudos is like right there. And it's so good. That's so interesting.
Solidarity in not being able to do cloth diapering. I try. I can't even imagine. Yeah. Emily took it a step further than us in that she actually has done the cloth diapering route and she can talk to you about that experience. But no, 100%. I mean, we see this as the middle ground and that's like what I'm looking for. I think actually something you said to us early in our first conversation, Lino, you said it was like your soul is in cloth diapering, but your life is like, no way. And I was just like, that resonates so much with me. And I think it resonates with their brave people are doing cloth diapering and we salute that, you know, mm-hmm. But this is a great alternative that is also kind of fits into your life as well.
Absolutely. So what's next for Kudos? When is it launching into the world? Where will they be available to purchase? Kind of run us down. I want to be hyped. Well, yeah. I'm already hyped, but like,
yeah, no, we're super excited. So we are gearing up for launch. We will be launching in mid-May. We'll be direct to consumer from our website. So mykudos.com. Ooh. And for anyone who is listening, you can sign up for our early access list right now at mykudos.com. And we're super, super, super excited to start diapering the world differently. And we're going to take it one tush at a time.
I love that. Direct to consumer from the website, mid-May, right around Mother's Day. Is that right? What a nice,
yep.
That would be a nice present for me, is having a better diaper, a diaper I can feel good about.
Love it.
Awesome. And talk to us a little bit about the cute prints that are going to be on the diapers.
I'm going to let Emily describe a little bit more of the science behind them, but we wanted to do something different than your kind of run-of-the-mill prints when it comes to diapers. So we said this earlier, but it's like prints for bums and brains. They are designed to match the cognitive and sort of physical developmental stages that your baby is going through. So for our early sizes, so sizes newborn through two, we're focused on those high contrast patterns because your baby is like really fascinated by colors that are high contrast. So we have these really cute elephant prints. And then Emily can talk a little bit about like the eyes on the elephants too are high contrast because babies are attracted to eyes because of that, like black and white. So very detail oriented in terms of what has been put into the prints. So we have the high contrast, we have sign language early on, since that's an initial form of communication before talking develops. Then we get into size three, which is all around, okay, your baby's starting to understand the world around them a little bit more. They're starting to like move to music. So we have a music print. They're starting to understand shapes. So we have a geometry print. And then as you get even older, there's more advanced concepts that come into play. So we have our space print, as they're understanding the universe around them, and then math. And I think Emily wrote this, like, you know, want proof that your child like knows how to do math, like try shortchanging them on their fruit snacks. Like, it's like so true. Like, they absolutely understand the concepts of math. And basically all of our prints are meant to encourage interaction on the changing table. Just one more opportunity for parents and baby to bond.
I love that. Emily, did you want to add anything?
I don't know if other new moms connect with this, but when I was first meeting my son, my first child, I was just in awe of how his development happened every day, how it seemed like every day there was just something a little bit different. You know, he was growing, he was making more eye contact, he was starting to engage, starting to mimic my face. And that all happens really early, like surprisingly early. It just made me deep dive. So if I could go back to school for a PhD, if I wasn't already working full-time and a mom, I would totally do something around child development because it's just so fascinating. And it really has inspired me. Like, what I have learned is like kids are resilient. They are excellent learners. And some of what I've learned about kids is like adults can be also excellent learners. You know, we just have to engage our neurons a little better. If you go to our website, we have a section on our prints, and I've linked several of the sources of information of what inspired us to make these prints specifically around science-backed studies of how kids develop, including, I think one of my favorite ones was just that, yeah, babies can do math. And there's just some fascinating studies about how scientists can understand how babies think. And a lot of it has to do with eye contact. So how long do they stare at something? If they see something that is unusual, so there's one study that they have scientists looking at a toy and placing it in a box, and then they lift the box up and there's a toy there or there's no toy there. And babies recognize there should be something there. They have this spatial awareness. They have this concept of finite objects, and they will stare at something that keeps their attention because it's unusual. So this is sort of like the science behind how researchers can tell what babies are thinking. And we just have a ton of those studies linked on our blog post about why we did our prints this way. So anyone who wants a deep dive and nerd out with us, feel free to check that out. Being a parent, that's like one of my favorite things about it, is just watching in awe of like how much learning there is every day, no matter what the age.
I am definitely always in awe. I can definitely relate with that. Like, my son's 10 months and it's just every day he's doing something. Like, he just started clapping, and I know it sounds so silly, but he started clapping and I'm like, oh my God, you're amazing.
You deserve that round of applause, baby.
Definitely.
Yeah, except it's not amazing when he claps at 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he's still in our bedroom and sometimes in our bed, and he'll just randomly get up and start clapping. And I'm like, okay, not so amazing anymore. But I am super excited for Kudos to launch. I can't wait to see it in the marketplace. So I recommend everyone listening to sign up for their email or their email newsletter. And I saw something about if you sign up for the newsletter,
yeah,
there is a chance to win a year of diapers.
Yeah, free. Yep, we're doing a giveaway where you sign up for our early access list and you'll get automatically entered to win a free year of Kudos diapers.
That is amazing. Can you imagine? Do you know how much we spend on diapers? That's a great incentive right there. So I recommend everybody to do that. Well, Amrita, Emily, Maura, thank you so much for being my guests today. If people listening want to connect with Kudos, where can they find you?
We love talking to all of our community. So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, all at Kudos to Baby, KUDOSTOBABY. Also feel free to email us at hello@mykudos.com, and me, Emily, or Maura, one of us will respond to you.
Awesome. All right. Well, I will include everything in the show notes. Thank you all for joining, and catch us next week for the next episode. Thanks for joining us this week on the New Mamas Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. Have a friend that would like this podcast? Share the love. Stay in touch. Definitely give us a follow on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast. I'd also love to continue the conversation with you on my personal account, so let's be friends. Slide into my DMs at Lena Forrestal. Finally, be sure to check out my blog at lenaforrestal.com for all things motherhood, homesteading, and recipes that both you and baby will love. Thanks again, and stay tuned for next week's episode.